edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. Our guest is Ted Brower, Dr. Ted Brower, healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. I'm going to be getting into some geopolitical issues here momentarily, folks. I want to tell you about the best rocket stove on the market. You know, when things go south, when things break, break down, you don't have power, you need something to cook with. Well, the Minuteman rocket stove is the best of the best of the best. I'm going to tell you, this is like operating a Bentley as opposed to a Vespa, okay? But at Chevrolet prices. MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. Go there and check out their array of fire starters. My goodness. All the products are handmade in the U.S. Their rocket stoves are serving with our men and our troops over in Afghanistan and Iraq. Again, made in the United States, North Carolina. This is a truly a small business. This is a business to support. It's MinutemanStove.com. And by the way, their stove is small, lightweight, wood burning, every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove with decent wood. It's smokeless, fully self-contained. It is just the best. I'm going to tell you right now, MinutemanStove.com. Dr. Ted, let's get into some geopolitics. Let's get into some...
Roundup is now getting a cancer warning out of California, so that's absolutely been in time for that. B12, we talked about earlier on the show, can really help fight depression and mental health issues. We talked about that last week. Diabetes has become one of the most, America's most expensive diseases. That's what I want to mention. I meant that earlier on the show. Not just autism. Major Yale study shows that vaccines are tied to multiple brain disorders. I mean, you know, this stuff just keeps getting worse and worse with this autism, and we could do a whole show on that again, which we've done before. Senators questioned sudden price increase of overdose reversal drug, went from $650 for the shot up to $4,500.
Yeah, well, what's up with that? I mean, obviously, look, I'm all for somebody making a profit, but seriously, that's a Norco pen, right?
So this is the according to multiple press reports, the Kaleo Pharmaceuticals increased the price of the drug Evzio from $690 for a two pack in 2014 to $4,500 today. The senators are concerned that communities and families won't be able to get the drug if somebody has a heroin overdose. And so it may lead to something becoming an epidemic. More than 30 U.S. senators, including U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York, have sent a letter requesting answers from the pharmaceutical company that reportedly raised the price of its opioid overdose reversal medication by nearly $4,000. I mean, this is some crazy stuff. I mean, but this goes on and on. $8.5 billion used to counter the narcotics effort in Afghanistan has boosted opium production.
Of course.
I mean, the U.S. government multi-billion dollar effort to counter narcotics in Afghanistan is a humiliating failure. It's not, they're not doing this. They're bringing the drugs over here for the United States through the mafia. You read the book, The Unholy Alliance Between the CIA, the Mafia, and the Vatican in Operation Gladio,
Sybil Edmonds talks about Operation Gladio with Jim Corbett. You're right.
Dirty vaccines, every human vaccine tested was contaminated with metals and debris in a new study. I mean, just unbelievable junk going on. Facebook suspends Christian homeschool's mom account for citing the Bible.
Nice.
Christians in China are being targeted and killed for organ harvesting. Now, what's crazy about this is that nobody wants to talk about this particular thing that's going on over in China, Doug. But China is not what we think it is. China is basically a dictatorial state that's completely communist, completely anti-God, anti-everything. So they just kill Christians now and they get their organs from. Abortions quota has been set by clinics, by Planned Parenthood. Salespeople for abortions have been rewarded with pizza parties on abortion goals.
Oh, how appropriate is that?
Well, that's why, I mean, with the whole thing with Pizzagate, that's why I mentioned that one tonight. Yeah. And then this is another interesting one. Dionysian worshippers are carrying a giant phallic symbol across the streets in Athens. Yes, hundreds of people are carrying a man-sized phallic figurine through the streets of the districts of Athens. Now, the reason I brought that particular thing up, which is kind of ridiculous that they're actually doing that, is this satanic agenda that we have, Doug, this Pizzagate agenda, this worldwide agenda of this filth going on, it's very common in Europe. They don't really see it differently. I mean, in Europe, you know, public nudity is accepted. I mean, just it's kind of crazy over there the way they do that. They don't really care. If you ever go to Athens, Greece, I was there once. Oh, gosh, it's been close to 20 years ago now. Everywhere you go, they have phallic symbol statues. I mean, everywhere, because that's one of their gods. And so I want to read this to you because it just goes back to show you that the globalists want to encourage this type of behavior. The globalists want us to watch the pornography. The globalists want to do everything they can to disable us and to destroy us. That's their goal. Because remember, there's this battle in the heavens, this unseen battle that we talk about, this unseen realm that's in the constant war. This unseen realm has been going on for millennia, for a long, 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 long time. And see, and basically God, when he said peace on earth, goodwill to men, when Jesus was born, this enmity against God and man was at an end because God was now doing a different plan as far as with Christ to bring us back to him. See, and this is the thing that we have to understand. We as Christians have to know who we are as Christians. We have to know who we are and what authority we have as Christians. And if we don't, what ends up happening, we become incapable of fighting this world system. We need to realize that we need to be praying every single day. We've talked about this many times on the show. We need to be praying in the name of Jesus, praying the things that we want to have happen, not what we don't want to have happen. Because if we as Christians can all unite together, we can stop this new world order. We can get a reprieve. And I think that we've proven that already with Donald Trump. Now, let me tell you, this is an interesting story. It's not positive, but it's interesting. Last week, I had we sent out a text. I have a text that we sent out. We sent out a text on, you know, Melania Trump, her prayer to, you know, doing the Lord's Prayer. I want to read you this really clearly because this is really, really important that you guys hear this. And so I sent this out to a bunch of my friends, and one of my friends is married to a very, 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 liberal woman. I mean, liberal, okay? And I sent her this prayer thinking, wow, everybody should be really proud, especially women, of Melania Trump doing the Lord's Prayer, the perfect prayer that Jesus gave us to pray. I mean, it doesn't get any better than the Lord's Prayer. It came right from the mouth of Christ. And she said, this is called fremdshaming. And it says Mussolini and Hitler and Stalin and others mastered on that too. Which that means they put her up in that position to intentionally humiliate her, Doug, while she was praying the Lord's Prayer because she has an accent and she couldn't pronounce all the words properly, but I thought her accent was beautiful. But this liberal sent me a text and said it was fremdshaming, which means basically you're trying to intentionally cause her to be ashamed of what she's doing and to shame her publicly. That's how they viewed that. I couldn't even believe it. And so I emailed her back to me, texted her back immediately and said, I thought she did a great job. And then she sent me a real anger face and said, I said, look, there's nothing embarrassed about reading the Lord's Prayer. I said, Jesus gave us that prayer. This lady speaks five languages and she speaks some other better than others. And then she goes, it's not about religion. It's about how they're using fremdshaming. And I said, hey, at least she did her best and I'm proud of her. She goes, I'm glad you are. As a woman, I think she's in a very awkward position that she's not qualified for. I mean, who are these people, Doug, to say that the first lady's not qualified to be a first lady because she doesn't speak English perfectly, I guess. And he goes, she will not be the first unqualified first lady for sure, but history will not be on her side. And my response to that, to put a stop to it, was history is a fickle master because history will record what history wants to record. History doesn't want to record what happened with the Versailles Treaty. History doesn't want to record what happened with the Federal Reserve Bank. History doesn't really want to record how the sinking of the Lusitania was used as an advertising ploy by Bernays to get us into World War I. History doesn't want to record what happened with the Weimar Republic with the hyperinflation from the international banking community, which brought their wrath of the Germans against this community. History doesn't record any of that stuff, Doug. They don't want to record what's happened. They only want to record what they want people to believe happened, and they try to do the best to twist and spin history so it'll make it as much on their side as they possibly can. I know when my mom in Germany after the war, I talked to her many times about World War II because she was there. She was born in Germany in 1916. And she told me so many times, you know, I bring the history books home of what happened in the war when I was in middle school, you'd call it, you know, we called it eighth grade. We had a civics class. And I'll never forget this. She goes, Ted, this is all a lie. this isn't what happened over there. This is not what happened. But, you know, and they should tell me what happened. I'm like, wow, that's crazy, because that's what happened. But this, but they're not going to tell you that, because to the victor goes the history lessons. Sure. So that's why when she said that history won't remember her well, I completely and totally disagree with that. Here's what I believe history is going to do. They're going to look at Melania Trump as probably the most gifted first lady we've ever had, a true lady who's absolutely beautiful. I mean, stunningly beautiful, got a sweet personality, and just has a great opportunity right now to really elevate women all over the planet, to make a woman. See, here's how I look at my wife. I look at my wife like a Stradivarius violin, Doug. You know, if I owned one of those, they're worth millions of dollars now. And if I was to hold a Stradivarius violin, I would hold it gently and carefully, not to drop it. That's how I look at my relationship with Sharon. I'm so careful to treat her with total and complete respect all of the time, and to always put her wishes at the forefront of my wishes, because I want people to understand that that's how a marriage is supposed to work. If each person gives 100% in both directions. See, that's the key here. We both give 100%, and she puts my wishes forefront of her wishes. So when we're always trying to please each other and bring each other up, it works. You know, this women's liberation movement that happened back in the 60s, and the 70s, Doug. I mean, sure enough, it gave women more quote-unquote liberty, but at what cost? I mean, a lot of women now are reviled. They're hated. Look at what happened in Washington right after the election.
Ted, I wonder, and just, okay, that when you look at the Amazonian march there in Washington, I wonder, what are the men? I mean, there must be a deficiency in the men. If any married woman that was marching on Washington, the guy at home, I would think would be, is either a eunuch, or a vegetable, or a awful person, in my view. That's just, I don't know.
Well, you gotta remember, a lot of the women told their men they had to walk behind them in the parade, because they couldn't walk beside them as equals. They had to walk behind them as inferiors. Now, and I remember Milo, the gay guy who they wouldn't let speak out there in California a few weeks ago. They interviewed him the following week on, you know, on Alex Jones's show, and he basically talked about how, why in the world were all these women, you know, these lesbians all fat and ugly? And I thought, wow, that's a pretty strong thing to say, but him being gay, I guess he could get away with saying that. But of course, he was beaten up pretty hard in the press by even saying that. But the truth is this, I'm not saying that being overweight is bad. I'm not saying that it's not being pretty is bad. But there's nothing wrong with being in shape, and there's nothing wrong with being pretty. I mean, there's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. I mean, we've got to accept each other for who we are, and we have to love one another. I mean, you know, if you're married to a woman that you love, you know, and you've been married for many, many years, and you're totally in love with her, I'm happy for you, because that's how I feel. I'm 33 years into the marriage, and I love it. But the thing about it is that you have to learn. It doesn't matter, because we all get older. We all age. You know, we all, you know, start getting gray hair. I mean, I've got a little bit of gray hair now. I'm 61. I'm supposed to have gray hair. And it's just, you know, I'm not in as good a shape as I was then when I got married to Sharon when I was, you know, 28 years old. But it doesn't make any difference. What we do is we have to continue to love one another. But the globalists don't want that. They want to do everything they possibly can to destroy marriage, destroy the family unit, destroy reproduction, and bring us into that global mindset of, hey, the state does a better job raising the children than we do. Here's another eerie one, another interesting article. The era of human, animal, hybrids, chimeras, has begun. This is an article by Michael Schneider. I'm not going to read you the article, but I'll show you a picture of it. And what he's saying, that, you know, we're now, he didn't say this in the article, but we're back into Genesis chapter 6. That's where this is going. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall I be in the, upon my return. And in the days of Noah is when we were doing Genesis chapter 6 with the animal-human hybrids, when the fallen angels were coming down. The globalists are striking back with a major push towards a cashless society. Another article by Snyder. Germany is starting to outlaw payments. They're starting to say now they're going to start seizing people who are traveling with more than X amount of dollars. They're going to start seizing debit cards. They're going to start seizing gold. Everything is going to do exactly what the Bible says, Doug, and that's going to be, they're going to want us to take the mark of the beast in order to buy and sell. The Word tells us this is going to happen, and this is what's going to happen. So it's important that we as Christians and we as Americans use cash as much as you possibly can. The problem with this is this. The United States right now, because of the Federal Reserve Bank, and that we're the petrodollar and we're the reserve currency of the world, all of these derivative denominations that we're taking out are almost all in U.S. currency dollars. But the problem is there aren't enough dollars out there to support the derivatives. In other words, when you start going hundreds to one against what's in deposit, you simply can't pay all that back if all of those notes hit the bank at once. This is what happened with Bear Stearns and a bunch of stuff back in 2007, 2008. Of course, we all know that now. The problem with it is that there's not enough cash in circulation. Europe right now is in a massive cash shortage for U.S. dollars right now. Same thing happened to them in 2007 before the collapse. Now, what's interesting about this is if they can get rid of the cash and they can go to digital, they don't ever have to worry about a cash shortage, though, because they can just add more dots and more dashes to the computer screens, and nobody's ever going to do a run on a bank to go get cash out of the bank to clean out their account. That's the goal of this. That's what they're trying to do. Plus, we need to realize that, you know, until we get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank in the United States and we nationalize the bank, we can't get rid of the inner workings of the Federal Reserve Bank because the entire banking system is combined through it. But what we can do is we can nationalize it like it was back in the early 1900s, back in the 1800s, and we can stabilize the currency. I mean, even Alan Greenspan is now saying that Ron Paul was right about the gold standard, because Alan Greenspan back in the 60s was a huge gold advocate. Now, we saw him, what he did by continually increasing the M1 money supply and what that's done to the economy, what's done to the purchasing of the dollar. But until we nationalize the Federal Reserve Bank, take back what they stole from us, because the Rothschilds can afford it, they're trillionaires, multi-trillionaires, probably quadrillionaires, to be honest with you. And the thing about it is that we can take back the assets they stole. And remember, these central banks all around the world that are Rothschild controlled, Doug, they're going in and they're buying up U.S. corporations. That's one of the reasons that the stock market is at an all-time high, because they printed trillions and trillions of dollars, digital currency and also in printing, you know, through the last 10 years. And these banks have taken that money because they got rid of Glass-Steagall and they've invested it in the market. So it'd be very difficult for the stock market to have a massive fall off unless they wanted to have a fall off, Doug, because so many of the stocks that are owned right now in the market are owned by the central banks. This is no good, because what we've done is we've allowed this Rothschild cartel to come in and buy up our country. This is exactly what they did in the Weimar Republic. This is exactly why the German people so hated the international banking community, and so did Hitler, because they had done the same thing to the American. They're doing the same thing to America now. So if we have a massive collapse at the other end, they still own everything. And see, this is what they do. This is what the Rothschilds have always done. And again, another article, the globalists are striking back against cash. Another article. Things just got worse on the Europeans' war on cash. Let me read this to you. The central authorities in Europe just launched another war on cash. Their new move comes directly from the European Union's executive branch, the European Commission, which just announced its intention to explore the relevance of potential upper limits on cash payments. Maximum limits on cash transactions already exist in most European countries, and the general trend is downward. Last year, Spain joined France in placing a 1,000 euro maximum on cash payments, including getting rid of the 1,000 euro note. Greece went one better, dropping its cap for cash transactions from 1,500 euros to 500 euros. In other words, they're going after us, Doug, and they're going after the cash. So guys, listen to me. It's really important. We all need to be using as much cash as we possibly can. And I understand you got credit cards and you get airline points, you get hotel points. I got all that. I do all that too. But whenever possible, when you're shopping locally, use cash. The Writing Center at the University of Washington, Doug, is telling students that expecting Americans to use proper grammar is racist and perpetuates racism. Can you believe that?
I saw that. What are you talking about, Willis?
This is the Writing Center at the University of Washington. I mean, the university's Writing Center director, Dr. Aso Inu, suggests that racism has produced certain unfair standards in education. I mean, I don't even know how to respond to this. I mean, how in the world can a higher educational school like this, a university, think it's okay to use improper grammar and improper English when you're writing papers or when you're trying to discuss stuff in class? I mean, Doug, can you figure why they do this? I mean, what is the point of that? I mean, is it just to continue to degrade the society and our educational systems?
Absolutely. You know what? Language is the borders language culture.
And what they want to do, like with test scores and many other things, is you know, get rid of certain standards and that they have set up. You know, what they're trying to do is say, you know, we can't take test scores. You know, we can't take these standards like they did with the SATs, saying the SATs were racist and you know it was a biased test, so they had to change the way that they did test scores based on you know, what kind of educational background a person had, or even just a background in general. But I think it's more to your point, what you said, Ted, is that just like all other things in society, like look at what they've done to math and arithmetic with introducing Common Core. It's the same thing with the English language. They want to reduce the intelligence level of the average person, and this is, you know, one of the most effective ways to do that.
Well, the thing that we have to realize is that, you know, when we're continuing to allow these guys to dictate this type of policy to us, I mean, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. Now, we have to have some type of standard, because if you don't, you're in a situation that you're going to be just believing everything that everybody says all of the time, and if you don't know how to write, it's kind of bad. It really is. I got an article I wanted to find you. I can't find it right now in my stack. I was telling Doug and Joe a few minutes ago, the guys are listening to the show tonight, I decided to play 52-card pickup with my stack tonight. It hit the floor, and it's all over the place. So it's just one of those things that, you know, we can't allow these crazy educators to do it. Here's another one. Berkeley unveils the new dangerous logic of the deranged left. If they disagree with you, the deranged left, they have the moral right to kill you before you can speak. I mean, how do you make stuff like
okay.
this stuff up?
No. Huh? Okay, so they... Wait a minute. What?
Berkeley unveils the new dangerous logic of the deranged left. If they disagree with you, they have the moral right to kill you before you can speak.
I wonder if I could use that as a defense of my criminal trial.
And to piggyback off that, Ted, actually, there was an article on Breitbart today. Top academic officials call for sex offender style hate crime register restricting access to jobs. What they want to do is show people that are guilty of committing hate crimes or offending people to make a registry, and that will affect their employment status in the future. And what they're doing, this is over in Europe right now, but we see a lot of, you know, these hate crime laws and hate speech laws that start out in Europe as ideas and are put into policy and into law. To where if you offend somebody with your speech, you can be charged with, you know, offensive hate speech crime and thrown in jail. Now they're saying they should have a registry like a sex offender registry, and it should affect your employment status.
No, it will. Here's another interesting article. The folks over in Germany now are being protected according to their government. There he is. German minister pledges to protect families from social media posts about the migrants that are raping everybody. Not everybody, but a lot of people in Germany. So what they're doing now, they're basically stopping social media from talking about the rapes that are happening all over Germany because they're protecting families. Now, you know, to me, if I want to protect a family, I would warn the families. You know, I mean, I remember two years ago, we went over to Cologne, Germany for the Christmas markets. And then we were there with Savannah and with Sharon. Now, we'd walked all over Cologne. I mean, everywhere 10 years ago. I mean, just, you know, it's a beautiful city. It's got the old cathedral there, the old Dom Cathedral. And we loved it because we had a Starwood property there. We got to stay there for free, and it had a blast. And what ended up happening is I told the guy at the front desk, I said, I'm going to let the girls walk over here to this event. Now, remember what happened a couple of years ago in Cologne? That's when they had that big raping that night in January for New Year's Eve. And the guy told me, he goes, you can't do that. I said, what do you mean I can't do that? I mean, they want to go to the Christmas market over here, and I don't want to go with them. And they said, have them take a taxi. But you can't let two girls walk the street here. It's not safe anymore. I said, this is Germany. He goes, dude, you don't understand. This is not Germany. This is Muslim world. This is awful here now. He goes, you got to understand that these girls may get raped. And he says, you can't allow your wife or your daughter to go places because they don't see things the way we see things from a cultural standpoint. I said, you've got to be kidding me. So I told him, I said, well, buddy, you only got to tell me that once. So I made sure they took a taxi, and I made sure they were well escorted into the grounds they were going over there, and then made sure they took a taxi back. But here's the thing. Why in the world is that okay with anybody? Why is it okay with the culture? And why is Germany trying to protect families now by not telling them that this is going on? I mean, Angela Merkel just doubled down again.
Yeah, well, Ted, I mean, what's up with her? Seriously. I mean, what was...
Well, my friends in Germany are saying basically that they're not going to put her back in. They said they have had enough of this.
You think?
So here she goes. This is an article, February the 19th, right here. Angela Merkel double downs again. Says Europe must take more refugees, more Islamic refugees. Again, and you know, she's She's like smoking dope or something.
Yeah, she's flip-flopped back and forth in the last month, like three or four times.
I really think, you know what, Joe, I really think Hitler had his sperm frozen and she's the illegitimate offspring of Hitler. I really believe that. And you could laugh, you could yuck it up, but look at her. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I have heard so many people say she must be the daughter of Hitler. And when I say to them, I'm kind of like, I always say, you know, this is probably not true. They said, no, we really believe she is the illegitimate daughter of Hitler. And I've actually heard some reputable people say that. Here's another article. Leaked report, 6 million migrants want to enter Europe. They're already in the pipeline. This is out of Breitbart. And I mean, this is not 6 million more from the Mediterranean and Africa want to come into Europe and into Germany. I mean, I have no idea why they think this is okay, why Germany thinks this is okay, but it's nuts. Because now the report is also coming in from Paul Joseph Watson that Germans are buying illegal guns to protect themselves from migrant attacks.
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to continue to see this migrant and refugee push, as especially with, you know, Trump trying to implement, you know, re-implement the laws of illegal immigration and the temporary Muslim ban that was set back by the federal judges. And what you're seeing is pushback in places like Sweden, Germany, and in Europe, where they're saying, you know, well, we will double down. We'll show you how intolerant America is. You know, we'll take these refugees. And it's just out of control. Folks, you're listening to Dr. Ted Brewer on this edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. We'll be right back with Dr. Ted right after this. Stay with us.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman & Hagman Report family, MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow, it's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
New Year from all of us at Trading Post in the Woods.
We pray you have a healthy, safe, and prosperous 2017.
And we would like to thank all of you for welcoming us to the Hagman & Hagman family. You're all a very wonderful and special group of people.
Because we believe it is so important for you to work and acquire good health this year, we're going to do something that we've never done before as a thank you to you for your support. We're going to make something available that we believe everyone needs.
During the month of January, anyone who invests in their health by purchasing either our American Heritage Remedies Kit, our Survivalist Natural Remedies Kit, or $200 in individual remedies of your choice, we're going to give to you our crisis remedy, just in case, for free.
Your health must be a part of your preparation plan. We're here to help you with that journey. May God bless y'all, and may God bless America.
Happy New Year!
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman & Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Ted Brower is our guest. Dr. Ted Brower, that is, to each and every one of us. Dr. Ted Brower, healthmasters.com, healthmasters.com. Visit his website. Doug5 is a coupon code. And, of course, if you do nothing else, look, support Health Masters. Help support us. Healthmasters.com, Doug5, coupon code. And I got to tell you something, too. We had Alan Riggs on earlier in the week, and this is really a testament to our listeners and our viewers. Alan Riggs from greeninnovative.com, he was on, and you know, when you support our sponsors like Greeninnovative, you help support us. It just makes sense. And Alan Riggs said, my goodness, just let everyone know, let your audience know that they're the best. They're the best audience in the world. And I'm going to tell you something. You guys are, and ladies are. Thank you so much for supporting our sponsors. And greeninnovative.com, in case you're new to the program, they've got a battery charger. It's a G-Mag power cell. It's a great product. Folks, go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. And click on, go to HagmanReport.com and click on the link to Greeninnovative. But the bottom line is this. 14% off purchases. Had a wrestle with, Alan, I'll tell you what, he really came through. It's a great buy. They put together a nice package for our Hagman listeners. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. And, of course, Dr. Ted Brower, healthmasters.com. Ted, come on back.
Oh, yeah, guys, if you just get your multiple vitamins from us, either powder or capsules, I mean, this one's pretty pricey. It's around $60, but the thing about the multiple that we have, this ultimate multiple, is it's all natural everything. And there's no sugar in it. So it tastes really good. It was very difficult to get that taste. And, we also have the regular multiple vitamins, like $25, and it's really good because it has the methylated B vitamins in it. So if that's all you do is buy vitamins from us or those multiple vitamins, thank you. If you pray for us, thank you. I mean, I just appreciate all of you guys. And he's absolutely right from Green Innovative, Doug. The Hagman listeners are the best. My listeners are the best, you know, and pretty much, I got to kind of draw the line there. Some of the other shows that I do, I love the listeners, but they're not Hagman listeners. They're not the Ted Brower listeners. I mean, your listeners are amazing, and just how smart they are. Because, you know, these guys, you know, your guys are awake and they're doing really well. And so they like that. By the way, if you go to, speaking about just by Bradley Dean, if you go into Mexico illegally, you're arrested, you're deported, or you're jailed, or you're held for ransom, as far as I know. And this is an interesting article because, you know, suddenly it's okay for them, and it's been okay for them for all of these years, to come over here and cry death to America. And yet they're telling us that if we go to Mexico illegally, they're going to basically bury us in a Mexico jail. You know what's interesting about that, Doug? In prison in Mexico, that's a real prison. That's like awful. You know, there was a movie that came out a few years ago, and it was with Tom Cruise, and then it was Jack Reacher. And at the end of the movie, there was a big argument with this guy who was the bad guy, and Reacher says, I'm going to put you in prison. And the guy's like 60 years old. He goes, prison in America? He goes, that's retirement home. and you think about it, that's how people look at our country. And that if they break the law here, if they're here, rather than getting deported, if they go to jail here, it beats that mess they came from. It really does. And a lot of those guys have that mindset. You know?
It's amazing.
Crazy. Local town governments host white privilege essay contest. This is up in Connecticut. They want to do a white privilege essay contest. Now, the reason I brought that up, I want to say something to you real quick. Here's an acceptance rate of U.S. medical schools in 2015. And what's going on with medical schools. Because this happened back in the late 60s, early 70s with affirmative action. And the schools were told they had to take a certain level of minority students in order to obtain the government subsidies, and they had quotas they had to reach. In fact, I knew a girl in Tallahassee. I dated her, and she ended up working for a company called Economic Research Services. Now, whether that company is still there or not, I don't know, but they specialized in working with people. This was the latter part of the 70s. They specialized in working with corporations to make sure they met their subsidies and their government quotas in order not to be fined by the government. Now, this is an interesting thing to look at. Now, here's what's happened as far as the population and medical school acceptance. If you have a 3.2 to 3.3 GPA and you have a MedCAD of 24 to 26, if you're Asian, you have 5% accepted. White, you have 8% accepted. Hispanic, 30% accepted. Now, think of what I just said. The same scores. And Black, 56% accepted rate. I mean, this is just absolutely crazy.
That's 2015?
That's 2015, you're
right. Okay. All
right. 2015, right here. And what's interesting about this is you start looking at that, and you start thinking, wow, that's crazy. Now, if you go up to a 3.5 GPA, it's white is 14%, Hispanic is 38%, and Black is 67%. By the time you get to a 3.8 GPA, your Black is going to be at 75%. I mean, and Hispanic at 51%. And so the nuttiest part about all of this is that it's about inverted. It's basically racial discrimination in reverse. And remember a few years ago...
No, it's racial discrimination, period, Ted.
Yeah, here's what I've told people before. If I have, like, let's say I want to go to medical school, and I have a 4.0, and there's one slot left at Harvard, and a Black guy has a 4.0, and we are equal at all other levels. I don't care. If they pick him over me because he's Black, I don't really have a problem with that, Doug. Maybe he did better on his essay, right? I don't care. But if he comes in at a 2.8 or 3.2 or whatever, and I've got the 4.0, and he gets picked over me because he's Black and I'm white, I have a problem with that. And I mean, I've had a problem with that for a long, long time. I've had enough of this affirmative action stuff. I mean, I understand that the Blacks got beaten down in this country, you know, through slavery. I got that, okay? I wasn't here. My parents weren't here. We didn't own any slaves. We were over in Germany having our own set of problems. But the problem is this, is that, you know, we Americans who are white guys, we're discriminated against repeatedly over and over and over. And also by the Hispanics, which doesn't make any sense to me because these guys are coming in here illegally, going to our schools, going to our medical schools, getting paid by government to do so. And the sad part about it is we all think it's okay because it's politically correct. None of this is right. You know, the people in the United States should be treated equally. That's how I look at it. Equally. If you deserve to go to medical school, you get to go to medical school. If you want to go to law school, you get to go to law school. But do it equally, not through affirmative action. Here's another interesting article. It says, former House Speaker, convicted pedophile, Dennis Hastert, is suing his victim for breach of silence.
Right.
Have you done this article already?
Joe addressed this,
Yeah, a little bit yesterday. I read this about a week or so ago, 10 days ago.
That's right.
And, you know, what surprised me most about the article, I guess, is something I never caught the first time, was how little jail time this guy got.
That aside, let me ask you a question. Are the courts entertaining this lawsuit?
Yes.
See, and here's the sad thing in my view. In America, you can sue anybody for anything. Tie up the courts, cause nothing but just incredible.
Well, he paid this child $1 million in hush money because he was back to raping children, and now he wants his $1 million back. And I mean, I don't even. He rapes the kid. He gives him $1 million in hush money.
Right.
And now he's suing to get his $1 million back. Because the kid talked about what happened to him.
Breach of contract, right?
You know, just here recently, and I'm not going to mention any names of major TV evangelists out of Atlanta a few years ago was busted and sued by a bunch of the parishioners, the boys, having sodomized these young boys, 16 and up. And he's a huge TV evangelist, or he was. He's dead now. Looked like he died of age to me, but I'm not going to mention his name. He really lost a lot of weight, which would be something that would probably happen. And the problem is that, you know, everybody's kind of like whitewashing what he did and how he died and all this other stuff. And I mean, like, you know, this is not okay. This pedophile stuff, Doug, is not okay. None of this stuff is okay. These guys, if I personally believe, this is my own opinion on this, if a person is raping a bunch of kids, I think they should get the death penalty. I forget this life in prison crap. I mean, I think they should be taken out back and strung up. And then you think, well, that's a little bit harsh. No, it's not. You realize how many lives they ruin if these guys go out, they rape 30, 40, 50, 100 kids? Look at some of these priests in the Catholic Church. They just move them from parish to parish to parish to continue raping and pay the billions of dollars in fines and judgments against them from these guys who they've allowed to rape these young children. None of that's okay to me. This is a sick, perverted mess. It's all part of the Luciferian worship, and none of it's okay. I think it's absolutely awful, Doug. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, the Catholic Church is one of the best examples of how not to handle pedophilia and child molestation when they don't even turn over the information to law enforcement. As you said, they protect the pedophiles by, you know, moving them to different cities and putting them in different, you know, churches without even warning the towns they're sending them to what these people have done in the past.
That's right.
I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. And, you know, whether the politicians had adopted the Catholic Church model or vice versa, it's, I mean, it's bad. And it's infested all areas of our government, law enforcement, and, you can see how, you know, everybody shies away from it. Nobody wants to talk about it. It's even more elusive than talking about abortions.
Exactly. Plus, the victims often turn into the predators later in life.
Now, Doug, are they gonna, is the FBI, because I know you got a lot of sources up with the New York Police Department, are they ever going to arrest anybody for this mess?
Well, I think a couple things. You've already seen some.
Yes.
Okay. There's some things brewing, all right? And Sessions, the short answer is yes, but I don't want to take your time up. However, if people are waiting for Hillary to do the perp walk, I don't have much faith in that at all.
Well, no, because these guys, remember the Trumps and the Clintons were good friends before this election. They played golf together. I mean, he contributed to her campaigns. I mean, there's a certain unspoken rule. It's kind of like, one of the first things I would have done with my executive orders is I would have undone Obama's first executive order, which was to seal his personal records. That's my first thing I would have done.
Yeah, well,
let's find out who this guy really is. We're unsealing all the records now. I'm signing an executive order to unseal it all.
Especially since Trump was, you know, somebody who was behind the birth certificate movement, and you know, that kind of, you know, got him into the most recent arena of politics before the primary season. And, you know, he kind of spearheaded that. And then they pulled once Trump had his press conference, and they pulled the Osama bin Laden death to kind of shift the focus away from the birth certificate issue. But if anybody who was elected president would do that, you would think Trump would be the person to do that.
But it's early yet. Who knows?
I don't know. All I know is that Obama has his 30,000-man army going on up there as far as his little guys that he has in his little group. And that's doing everything they can to undermine this president. And I, quite frankly, if I was Trump, I'd put a stop to that by unsealing Obama's records.
Mm-hmm.
That's the easiest thing to do. And then have the FBI do a full investigation on this guy to see if his birth certificate was legal, if he's really an American citizen, and go forward. I mean, I don't think he's ever going to do that, because I don't think he wants to taint the office of the presidency by doing that, because I really believe this guy was an entire plant with the NSA, the CIA, et cetera. Well, I still believe, I'm never going to change my mind on that.
And you just brought up a good point. Don't you think that, you know, they said don't go after, you know, the Hillary Clinton because, you know, you'll and don't go after the Obama because you will set yourself up for to be gone after yourself when you leave the office, but also, you know, to tarnish the reputation of the presidency. But don't you think by Obama staying in the D.C. area, but not only that, but becoming actually active and advocating against Trump and getting all these people to try to impeach Trump and tarnish his administration, don't you think he's opened himself up to the retaliation or the investigation?
If the Justice Department looks at Obama, just looks at him, you know, and they unseal those records, they let everybody look at the records. I mean, you know, Trump's records aren't sealed. You know, my records aren't sealed. Y'all's records aren't sealed. I mean, you know, why do you do the first thing when you go into the White House to seal your own records? I mean, you know, are you kidding me? I mean, that's crazy. I mean, because he doesn't want people doing investigations onto his entire background, because I think he's a deep agent. I think he's really, you know, a CIA, you know, plant. I think he's, you know, what we've talked about this before. Is the NSA the real president of the United States? There you go. This is an article by John Rappaport. I know you had him on a few weeks ago. Yep. I'm sure he did a great job for you guys. The guy's in his 80s, and the guy's as sharp as a tack. Man, he's brilliant. And, you know, what's interesting to me is this. Is the NSA the real president of the United States? I don't think so, but I think the deep state has taken over so much of government and so much of what's going on in the United States, Doug, through the Exchange Stability Fund and through their funding through the black ops, through the money coming in out of the Afghan heroin and all the money they were doing in off-book balance sheets. I mean, first of all, I don't believe for one second that the F-35 Raptor or the plane that they're building is over $1 trillion in budgets. I don't believe any of that. You know, the military is saying now they've lost $9 trillion worth of money. They can't tell you where it's gone because of the black ops that it's gone into. So I don't believe that the F-35 was a $1 trillion project. I think that that's money they put into other projects they allocate to the F-35 to try to obfuscate where the money's gone. That's what I believe, because all of this stuff is just a bunch of lies. There's no way you're spending $1 trillion on a fighter that won't fly, that has hundreds of problems with it. Not what they're doing. Because remember, our weapons technology is far in advance of what they're showing us with an F-35. Way in advance. I mean, they were working on anti-gravity weapons in Germany back in the doggone 30s. We've way, way past all that. I mean, we're way, way, way beyond where anybody ever could possibly imagine or believe that we are with this breakaway civilization. We've talked about this many times. So the truth of the matter is they use all of this stuff to obfuscate where the real money is going into the space-based programs, into the underground military bunkers, and all of these different things that they're doing. So it's really interesting to me that the United States is basically in the situation where these secret agencies have actually come in now and have taken control. And a lot of this started in 1947. Remember, after Roswell happened, we did a show on this, in which the OSS became the CIA, and all of this money started funneling in. Because, you know, remember, the United States Air Force really wasn't the Air Force. It was part of the Army Corps back in the World War II, and it all kind of shifted that direction. And guys, you know, this is a major, major mess with these secret agencies having all of this unbridled access to all of this money and be able to do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, like chemtrails, which, by the way, have not stopped in Florida, and basically unfettered. I mean, so we've got to find a way to get the government back under control of the branches of government and away from these spy agencies like the NSA. What do you guys think?
100%, Ted. And just with respect to the NSA, just a couple of things. You know, the Snowden revelations really exposed the NSA, the secret covert order allowing the NSA to access our phone records, the introduction of PRISM, the fact that NSA spies on foreign governments, tailored access operations, the fact that NSA collects all phone calls in countries such as the Bahamas and Afghanistan. And all of this, Dishfire, which collects all of the texts. So yeah, it's crazy.
Well, I mean, think about it, because remember, one of Obama's final executive orders that he did was to basically allow all of these different security agencies to have full access to the NSA files. And I believe that's one of the reasons we've had so many leaks in the Trump administration, because all of this information is being passed around freely inside of these agencies. And I don't know why Trump hasn't signed an executive order stopping all that. I don't get that. Now, Doug, was that something that was passed through Congress, or was that an executive order when Obama did that?
Executive order, I believe.
That's what I thought, too. Okay. Yeah. All right. And here's another one. Elon Musk, the founder of Tesla and SpaceX, said recently that humans must become cyborgs and establish a direct connection with machines if they don't wish to become obsolete. We've talked about this repeatedly and how they're tying us into the electronic matrix through the chemtrails, through the barium, through the aluminum, attaching itself into our central nervous systems and allowing us to be having our DNA read and our mood states read. We've done entire shows on that, which were probably some of the best shows we've ever done with you guys, Doug. But, you know, it takes a long time to do shows like that. It takes a lot of energy and a lot of time and a lot of research, and it takes a few hours just to get through that stuff. Did you see the article Brzezinski said? Our job is to control exactly what people think. Have you guys covered that one yet?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. Controlling the media, or controlling what you think.
Well, that's right, because that's exactly what's going on. Because if we allow these people to control the media, they're going to control us. Because it's all about the advertising and the marketing that's going on, you know, to control us, Doug, and to allow us to become part of their matrix as far as their information set.
Yeah, and what's really telling is, you know, they were doing was talking about, you know, how Trump is hijacking, or undermining the media, the credibility of the media by calling them the enemy of the people. And then she turns right around and says, you know, it's our job to control what people think. Whether that was intentional or non-intentional, it just shows their true colors and what they truly think. And it reminds me of a commercial that's played here on the local, was it the Fox affiliate, the one that plays Hannity and Beck, and they, you know, one of the, and during the commercial, shaping public opinion. And it's like something they brag about. And I don't know how people don't, you know, catch on to that, but that's what they do. That's what they're there for. They're not there to report facts. They're there to shape public opinion, to tell you exactly what, the way they want you to think.
Well, it's Edward Bernays. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, you know, Goebbels was so fond of Edward Bernays because he was able to shape the public opinion of the United States to get into World War I. And you got to go back to that. Here's another interesting article. Media Matters has assembled a $13.4 million budget for a 34-person team focused on destroying and discrediting the independent media. I believe that's what we're seeing now with all of the attacks against the alternative media right now, Doug, is that Media Matters is continuing to do this. And, of course, we all know who owns Media Matters. That would be George Soros.
David Brock heads it. Soros funds it through the Tides mm-hmm. Foundation and other funds, and Open Society Institute. But you're right. Yeah.
That's right. Okay. Refuse Fascism group behind Berkeley riot received $50,000 from George Soros.
Yep.
I mean, this just goes on and on and on with George Soros. Another article, Jeff Bezos, the head of Amazon, is doing huge business with the CIA. Just got a $600 million contract with the CIA. While keeping his Washington Post readers in the dark. And I mean, guys, I mean, why do we think these guys can get this kind of money? I mean, Jeff Bezos with Amazon, he has a trust, he has a doggone monopoly problem. That whole Amazon thing's gotta be broken up. I mean, it is destroying retail in the United States. It is dwarfing, you know, Walmart sales now. All these people are shopping online because, I mean, it's so convenient with their Amazon Prime to buy stuff, get it in a couple of days, not have to pay any extra for shipping or freight, save the fuel, save everything else. But the problem is, these guys are all tied together in the deep state with the CIA, and it's not okay that these guys are doing all of this stuff and continuing to do this stuff, Doug.
And they keep track of your purchases. They know your buying habits. They sell that information or provide it to the deep state. Yeah.
That's exactly right. Experts reveal technologies used by the media to brainwash and control us. And, of course, this has been going back into the 50s all the way to subliminal advertising. And here's another article about what's going on in Europe again. Teacher, 28 years old, gang raped by 9 Iraqi immigrants in Vienna. Unbelievable. And another one, Muslims are sexually enslaving children, which has become a global phenomenon all over the world. And, guys, we need to realize we have had a huge cultural clash between the Muslims in the United States, the Muslims in Germany, and the Christians or the Protestants that are still available in Europe and in the United States. And unless we get rid of this, unless we find a way to stop this unbridled immigration and get these guys back out of the country, it's not going to help. I mean, and I don't know. What do you think Trump's going to do with this, Doug? What do you think is going to be his final end game on this? Because, I mean, he's kind of being handicapped every time he tries to do something. Has he done that new executive order yet that's going to be a rehash of the old executive order trying to clean it up?
You know, I caught...
Week.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Next week, the immigration executive order that was stopped by these federal judges...
Circuit court. I tell them to stick it up there.
Yeah, it was supposed to be released this week, but they pushed it back, I think, Wednesday until the beginning of next week. So I don't know if they're trying to fine-tune it or what they're trying to do, but it's still forthcoming. And I believe it will be Monday or Tuesday.
But since when, Ted, does the Ninth Circuit Court really make law for the entirety of the United States, the Court of Appeals? And
how many judges' anyway, orders did Obama ignore? Federal judges'
yeah,
orders?
Yeah, exactly.
Obama
just do it, to coin a statement from Nike. Just do it.
Yeah, but you got to remember, though, and we've mentioned this, and you already know the answer to this, Doug. I mean, the media is on, you know, Obama's side. They're not on Trump's side.
Sure.
If you're exactly right. If this had been Obama, I mean, Obama deported millions of illegals. I mean, we know he did that over these 8 years he was here. I mean, so nobody talked about that. Nobody talked about it. And see, but when Trump starts to do it, because everybody's opposed to Trump, because remember, they're all scared to death that this Pizzagate, this pedophile network, and I'm not talking about the Comet pizza place up
right
there. I'm not talking about that. But remember though, with the one Trump, the one tweets that went back to Flynn. What Comet's around comes around. Remember?
Yep.
Because he was going after the pedophiles, and so we need to realize this satanic network that Ted Gunderson talked about, I mean, because remember, Hillary was flying back, according to Larry Nichols, to her witch's coven every 6 weeks in California. I mean, this is a satanic network that's out there doing what they do to attack Trump, alternative news media folks, every person who's out there saying things that they're doing are incorrect, and this child sacrifice, child sodomizing network that they are involved in is throughout the entire government. The one FBI guy said that up to 30% of the people now in the federal government are pedophiles.
Yep.
Involved in this mess. I mean, and I said this on my show last summer. I said if the entire thing was known with what's going on with the pedophile network in D.C., it would literally bring down a big portion, if not the entire federal government, have to be reorganized because of all these people that would suddenly vacate their positions. See, this is a problem. You know, when we were up there 2 years ago, when we were lobbying Congress and doing the things and meeting with the congressional leaders and meeting with the pages, I was there with Coach Dave Dobemeyer, and we were walking the halls of Congress together up in D.C. Now, I looked at Dave, and I said, have you noticed something very strange here? He goes, yeah. He says, like, everybody seems to be gay. And I said, yeah, it's really weird, isn't it? Because, guys, this is what's going on up there. A lot of these pages are being brought in for sexual favors. We know that's true. We saw what was going on with Barney Frank. All of these things are going on up there on an ongoing basis. When Trump said they're going to drain that swamp, he needs to drain that swamp. He needs to get all of this stuff out in the open and make people realize that this type of behavior is not okay from our elected officials. It's not okay for anybody, much less the people that we put in the power, we put into authority of Doug and Joe.
That's right. Brother, we're at the end of our time together.
Okay.
Hey, Ted Brower, healthmasters.com. Thank you so very much, Ted, for
thank you, Doug.
For
thank
spending
you,
Joe, time.
Thank you. And again, thanks for everybody for supporting Health Masters. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for supporting the Hagman broadcast. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. God bless you guys. I appreciate you. I'll talk to you next time we're on, Doug.
All right, brother.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ted.
Thanks.
You have a great night.
Bye-bye.
When we come back, Josh Tully from The Josh Tully Show will be joining us, so don't go anywhere. A little early on that one.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate a maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.